Hello, what have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 45. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about The Last Jedi. As always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host Danya.
Hey everyone.
Hey Danya.
Hello.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free today. We also have t-shirts and buttons available on our website, so check those out. Make sure you're sporting your Resistance Radio buttons next time you go to see Rogue One in theaters, because I'm sure it's going to be leaving soon. It's only been there for about a month and a half, so it'll be good to have a little button there. Also, today we're going to start a new segment for the show. No oohs and ahs.
Ooh.
There we go. I got the oohs and ahs.
There we go.
So we got listener emails. We have two this week. Donna, you want to read the first one for us?
I do, yes. Yeah. So the first one is from Robert G, who sent us an email called Things to Think About. And Robert said, started listening to the show a month or so back, and I'm now working my way through old episodes. If you've talked about the following points, I do apologize. 1. I'd like to see Chewie kill Kylo by the end of episode 9 and have his first spoken words to be, "You killed Han," as he chokes Kylo.
I don't know about spoken words. I like the growls.
Yeah. The next one is, what if Rey and Kylo switch roles? Kylo turn back to the light and Rey the dark side. The only time we've seen her use the Force, she's been angry, and we know what Yoda says about anger. And also says, can a Force ghost take over a person's body? What if Princess Leia's Force ghost takes over Lieutenant Connix, Carrie Fisher's daughter, and speaks through her? Just a few thoughts. Keep up the good work. Live long and may the Force be with you.
I thought it was going to be live long and prosper. Anyway.
I think that's the joke, Mikey.
Oh, is that what the joke is? That's why there's the ellipse, the three dots after it. I get it now. So, I will say this. What if Rey and Kylo Ren switch roles? That's been brought up a lot.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. Yeah.
So, you know, it could happen, especially since we really don't know where Rey, you know, is. You know, she's been living on her own for all this time. You know, we see her in The Force Awakens, and we automatically assume she is one of the good guys, right? From our point of view, I believe she is a good guy. She also has Luke's lightsaber that called to her, which was Anakin's before her, but obviously Anakin was tempted to the dark side. So, you know, it could happen.
Personally, for me, I don't see Rey as being, like, traditionally light side or dark side. I feel like she's gonna fit into this gray area between the two. I get this feeling that she's not... She'll be on the side of the Resistance and there for their cause, but I don't think that she's going to play into the typical roles that we've come to expect from, like, traditional Jedi versus Sith. So for me, I feel like there's going to be a lot more of a gray area when it comes to her specifically. I don't know why. I've just got this gut feeling that, like, her upbringing in particular and how she was abandoned and stuff like that, you know, for some reason her lifestyle and upbringing has made her more of a survivor and more of a, it's not a hardened soul, but she's definitely not gonna be as open, I think, to living the Jedi lifestyle and basically embracing everything that comes with that culture. I don't think that's going to be her thing. So I don't know that there is a role for Rey and Kylo to switch into. But I will say that I've seen a lot of people speculating about a redemption arc for Kylo Ren, even though he killed Han. Because there's been a lot about how his calling, he's not being called by the dark side. He's forcing himself to choose that all the time. His call is back to the light. We see him struggle with it in The Force Awakens. And he even says it when he's talking to Vader's helmet, that, you know, he can feel the call back to the light and he needs to stop it. So yeah, there's a lot of hints that a redemption arc could be possible for Kylo Ren, but I don't particularly see Rey going to the dark side. Especially not allying herself with the First Order or Snoke. Particularly because of everything that she saw them do through The Force Awakens and so on. So
yeah, I'll agree with you 100% on that. I don't think, like, it could happen, but I don't think so. Like, my gut feeling is, when you were mentioned that kind of Rey be kind of middle, not necessarily a Jedi, without getting too much into our spotlight topic, you know, it's one of those things where we're learning more with Rebels, like things about the Bendu, kind of the middle ground, and how even the Jedi Kanan is, there's a storm in him, even though he is a Jedi, supposed to be serene in all this. And I think part of Luke leaving was to try to find what is the correct balance. You know, if he was trying to teach, because we don't know anything about the time when he was trying to rebuild the Jedi Order. Was he doing it like the EU did, like in the EU that is now, you know, legends? Or was he literally trying to do it like what we saw in canon, like what we saw in the prequels? And, you know, the prequel Jedi, they were kind of assholes. Like just to put it, just to kind of put it down, they kind of were. Whereas, like, but when you see in A New Hope, you see with, like, they were guardians of peace and justice. You know, they used the power of the Force. Like, when you hear Obi-Wan talk about it, you had, like, this amazing thing, like, oh, the Jedi are amazing. But when you see them in, you know, specifically, like, someone like Mace Windu and stuff like that, and, you know, in the prequels, you're kind of like, the Jedi kind of suck. Like, I get it. Like, they really are good compared to, you know, what we see with Vader and Darth Maul and the Inquisitors and the Sith and stuff like that. So they are obviously good guys, but in the end, they're not really, you know, they have inherent problems, like, with what they're trying to do. So I don't think Rey would ever embrace that completely, kind of like what you're saying. And I think Luke has actually probably come to that same conclusion, especially with us getting all these hints about, like, Guardian of the Wills and kind of going back to the beginning of what the Force is and different things, and, like, and obviously in Rogue One and stuff in Rebels and just stuff we even learn in Clone Wars. Like, I feel like they're kind of setting the stage for Luke to kind of drop some knowledge bomb about, like, reforming the Jedi Order, but not necessarily as Jedi, but just maybe as, like, Force users that are, you know, kind of middle balanced users, if you will, kind of like the Bendu or something. So I don't know if they would switch roles, but I do see a redemption storyline coming for Kylo. And I don't know if, even if it's redemption, if it'll end up like Vader, where it's like he redeems himself at the last moment and he's dead, or if he'll redeem himself and be able to continue on a new saga with, like, Rey and Ben as, like, our new leads in Jedi type stories with lightsabers in episode, you know, 10, 11, and 12. Who knows?
But I definitely, I can say, and I'm not saying maybe necessarily that that's what I want for Kylo, but I can definitely see the potential there for that being something that they would choose to do with the narrative. It's definitely open to that right now. I guess we'll see what happens in The Last Jedi, because obviously he's returned to Snoke to finish his training. So
yeah, I will say, I think I really don't want Kylo Ren to get a redemption story. Not that it won't be a good story. He's our villain. It was positioned that way from the beginning, I think.
But is he?
Well, okay. So he's a undercover agent planted there by Luke. I've read that somewhere too.
I've read that theory. No, what I meant was we've got who is it that's coming in this one who's playing another villain?
Oh, you have Benicio del Toro coming.
That's
in.
It.
Yeah.
So he's coming in this film as well, but we don't know what role that he's playing. We just know, I think,
Young
that
Snoke.
He's. You think he's going to be Young Snoke?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's really who knows that. But I will say this, you know, the reason I don't want Kylo Ren to get his, his redemption story, I feel like what they're doing with the new canon is they are really, you know, and Pablo Hidalgo says they're cherry picking like the best of the best from the EU. And if you look at like one of my favorite stories from the EU is when Jason Solo falls to the dark side and his sister has to confront him. Well, we have that directly at the end. You know, we have Rey and Kylo, Rey and Ben going head to head, even if Rey is not Ben's sister because he's her cousin, his cousin. But, you know, really what it comes down to is like they try to redeem him. And I think they really are going to try at the end. But I feel like Rey has to defeat Ben to complete her story. And that's what I want it to be. So I don't think they're going to switch roles. But I could be wrong. Yeah, I've been wrong before.
Yeah.
As for Force Ghost taking over a person's body, I have never heard of that happening before, except with possession being from a Sith. So be things like that, you know, with Sith sorcery and stuff like that. But that's a lot of that is EU. I can't think of, with the exception of Darth Bane showing up in Clone Wars, he didn't even possess something. He was just a spirit. So I don't think that we've ever seen a Force Ghost possess anybody. Am I right?
Yeah, I can't think of any instance where that has happened. So we don't have anything that would suggest that it's a possibility one way or the other. It could be possible, but we just don't know. I don't know, though. I feel a little weird about the idea of, because I don't know that Leia can become a Force ghost either.
Yeah,
I know that she's. I know that she's Force sensitive. Yeah,
but she wasn't trained to use it. And you know, we talked about this with like midichlorians even a couple weeks ago, or was that last week? I don't even remember.
It was last week.
There you go. See, I tried to put it out of my mind. Midichlorians, we talked the Force, but like it really comes down to, so she obviously has a high chance, she's very strong in the Force, natural aptitude to it, but she doesn't use it. She was never trained in it. So, we talked about quieting her mind to really commune with the Force and talk to it and trying to become, come back as the Force ghost. That's all part about the living Force. So you kind of made an impression on your midichlorians, which are communicating with the Force. And, so the whole Force ghost thing, I just don't think happening, especially it's not even like she's taken over like Ben's body, who would be family, someone she's more familiar with. I get Lieutenant Chronix was played by Carrie Fisher's actual daughter, but you have to separate Princess Leia, General Leia, from Carrie Fisher, at least story-wise, if you were going to try to tie something like that together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to handle everything with her. I mean, obviously we know that it's definitely not going to be a digital recreation of her, which I'm thankful for. I don't think that for me that doesn't feel right. So, I don't know, there's probably ways that they could write around it. Either that something happens between episode 8 and 9 that takes her out of the picture, or even that we get like she's there, but we don't see her. Like, we hear through like comm messages or through other people, or that she's there, but in the background. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no, she's sending. There's ways that they could probably write around it.
Here's the thing: is they have probably some of the smartest writers in the industry right now working on ways visually to like. Even if you don't like see her, if they have someone be a body double and you see the back of her head, get on a ship or something. Like, think about the beginning of, was it Attack of the Clones? It was Attack of the Clones, where you have Padme Amidala coming to the Senate, and obviously she's a decoy, but right at the very beginning of the, you don't even see the decoy. Until you realize that it wasn't actually Padme. It was, you know, the body blown up. So it could be something as simple as like that. You know, the First Order, right at the beginning of Episode 9, does something to where there isn't a Princess Leia on screen, and like maybe it's just too charred, like her father's body or something. You know, knock on wood, I don't really want to see a charred Princess Leia. But
who knows
what they can do? There's all sorts of things. Because it's not the beginning. We've had precedent of them killing characters right off the beginning of the film. So
yeah.
All right, next email is from Emmett Simmons. Hey, Mikey, or whoever reads these emails, it's both of us, by the way, I just thought something while I was listening to the most recent episode of Resistance Radio. It's kind of interesting. I hope it's not your hashtag your race theory sucks. My race theory is amazing, by the way. But if it's, what if Rey is Ezra's daughter? Because we've heard Ezra is Snoke, but I don't think that's right. Plus, this would tie Rebels into the saga films, and since Ezra has a high midichlorian count, according to the first season Rebels, please, please, please put this on the show. Also, what you think about The Last Jedi. We'll talk about The Last Jedi, but I do like this idea of Rey being related to Ezra.
I actually kind of am digging that a little bit as well.
I like it too.
I mean, obviously, we've got precedent that, you know, they have moved characters from the animated show into live action mm-hmm. with Saul Guerrero. So we've already got, like, a precedent there for connecting the two together. So, and we know that Hera is the General Syndulla that we heard on the comms in, over the comms in Rogue One as well. That's been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that there is
and you know,
a lot of stuff that connects the two together. So it wouldn't be completely
out of, left
out
field
of the question. No, because Ezra, thinking about it, would probably be around, would he be about the right age to have had a kid that would then grow up to be
here's the thing is, so Ezra is 16 when the Empire takes over.
Yeah.
On the last, or he's born on the last day of the Clone Wars. So he's 16 when we see the beginning of Rebels. So if you take the between the Clone Wars ending and the Rise of the Empire and A New Hope, that's about 20 years. So Ezra is like identical to the age of Luke, essentially. He might even share a birthday with Luke and Leia. So, you know, he can definitely have it, because when you think of like Ben being, you know, Leia's son, you know, Ray could be, you know, a little bit old, you know, he took a little bit more time. But I'm almost wondering that it's interesting that we think of Ray as Ezra's daughter, because remember when Benicio del Toro was cast, they also said that he looks like an adult version of Ezra.
Mm-hmm. That's a point.
And that would be really interesting if they introduced him and he had fallen to the dark side, because we've seen this whole like, you know, we see Ezra using, you know, the dark side holocron, and he's definitely tweetering. And like the thing is, we saw Vader fall to the dark side because of good intentions. Like, he wanted to save his family, and that's how he was, you know, tempted. Like, he fell to the dark side because of essentially good things. Ezra the same way. He wants to save his friends. He wants to save the rebellion. I can see him kind of going darker because he wants to do right, but obviously it leads him down a path that is kind of hard for him to recover from. And Rey being his daughter, I like that idea. I don't know how much credence it is, because we know Rey is Luke's daughter, but you know, I like it though. I like the idea.
Yeah, I do like this idea as well.
Yeah,
I do. I think it would be quite interesting.
I don't know.
And yeah.
See, the thing is, like, I really like it. But I'm like gung ho. Rey is Luke's daughter. Like, I have to defend that.
I know. That's
like the problem is, I have to defend that no matter what. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you do. I know.
But I do like the idea. Like, it's, I personally like it better than Obi-Wan's daughter. Like, having an Obi-Wan story, you know, like, not that I don't like an Obi-Wan Kenobi story.
I mean, it probably wouldn't be Obi-Wan's daughter.
Or granddaughter. But yeah, but you got to remember, like, that was a theory at one point, and I'm like, you know, I like this one though, because this does tie Rebels in and makes it even a more like something you have to kind of watch. You know what I mean? Like, plus Rebels is just absolutely awesome. So,
yeah, yep. I would agree with that.
So leading on to the news then, this kind of leads directly into the news. I like that. We only had a couple things we wanted to talk about, because obviously there was one really big thing, which we'll talk about in a minute. We did want to talk about the latest Rebels episode, Trials of the Darksaber.
So good.
Was it not amazing? Like, honestly, it was really bad, because I was watching the show, and my wife was sitting next to me, and she was just laughing at me, because I'm, like, giddy through the whole thing. I'm, like just got the dumbest big smile on my face, because it was such a good episode. First of all, one, how awesome is Sabine with the Darksaber? So much story and so much like character growth with her with that, like the conflict she has from picking up the saber because of what it means, you know, and we learned that her family has essentially betrayed her, and they've kind of like almost essentially excommunicated her because, you know, they believe she is a traitor to the clan. And that's not true, because she did what she did. She left the Imperial Academy because she wanted to save her family. And so, essentially, the crew of the Ghost has become her family. So, I love this. Let's talk, you know, I know you have your own opinions about Sabine. So, what do you think about Sabine in this episode?
Loved it. I felt so terrible, though, because she obviously understood the implications immediately of what being in possession of the Darksaber meant. So, she knew that if she started using it, she would either be challenged for it, or she would have some kind of responsibility to go back home to try and unite her clan and get them to come under the Rebel Alliance, essentially. So she knew exactly what that meant, and it's a heavy burden for her to bear, because it's one that she has to bear alone. Like, there's no way that anyone else can get involved in that. It is a very specific cultural thing. So it had a lot of weight to it. So I felt so terrible for her, because she was basically browbeaten into taking the Darksaber by several people in this episode. But then there was very little leeway given to her to, like, emotionally deal with the implications of having to do that. And so just the emotional arc that Sabine goes through within this episode was beautiful. And you know what? I'm actually surprised that she didn't punch Ezra, because I was just like, every time Ezra was like pushing and pushing and pushing and needling, I'm like, they're going on, man, I'm a Hufflepuff through and through, but man, I would have punched him so hard before the end of the episode, I swear.
Yeah, Ezra was kind of annoying throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, and like, I've had someone like argue with me that Kanan was just as bad, but I feel like
Kanan was trying to teach her. Like, Kanan's have to get annoyed with a teacher like that at the same time.
Yeah, but Kanan's approach was very specifically, he was trying to do everything right by her that he didn't do right by Ezra, and has essentially led to Ezra being the kind of Jedi he is now. Yes, Ezra is gifted and, you know, is very good with a lightsaber and very good with his force powers, but He's still Ezra. Yeah, he hasn't matured at all, pretty much. He's still making the same mistakes that he always has, and he doesn't seem to learn from them. So a lot of it is essentially, I feel like, it was really great content for Kanan as well, in having to realize, like, what kind of teacher he wants to be, and that he can't teach any two people the same way, and even when he tries to change it, he can't stick strictly to this sort of code that he's always grown up with, because it's not going to work anymore. So he had to realize that Sabine is a very different person who isn't going to work under the Jedi rules, because she's not a Jedi, and she never will be a Jedi.
That's true. Even though Fen Rao gave her some really cool Mandalorian upgrades to help her fight the Jedi. You know, we'll talk about those in a second, but I will say just seeing a couple of the things in it, like this episode brought back a lot of things that made me really excited. So one, we learned a little bit about the first Mandalorian Jedi, Tar Vizsla, who created the Darksaber, which is pretty cool to see. Like, if you think back to the Jedi Order, you know, we'd hear that they take, you know, kids as, you know, essentially as infants to become Jedi. So they don't know, they don't have attachment to family. But if they had a Mandalorian Jedi, that means he was raised as Mandalorian. You know, he was raised as a Mandalorian, and then he was able to hone his Force powers and become inducted into the Jedi Order. So that is a whole bunch of lore and stuff that, like, I just hope that there's somebody there, like, okay, well, this is a novel somewhere or a comic or something, like, just to kind of dive into that, because I think that is such a cool concept. Also, talking about Tar Vizsla and just kind of the first Mandalorian and just kind of like the Old Republic era, Kanan mentions that the Mandalorians lost the war against the Jedi when Sabine uses some of her new toys that Fenn Rau gives her, which was surprise. You know, it surprised Kanan, which is fine. But the fact that Kanan, you know, kind of damages one right away and says, like, don't forget that the Mandalorians lost the war against the Jedi, which is directly related to the story of Revan in the Old Republic video game. Like, could they canonize Revan and make his story and the Mandalorian war against the Jedi become, you know, canon? Like, this gets me, like, you don't even know how giddy this made me. Like I said, I was giddy throughout this entire episode. It made me so excited.
Yeah, there's so much potential here for stuff, like, for content that could become canon again, and really good, rich, deep lore that could become canon. And it's really, really great.
And I would like, I'll be honest, I'll even be okay, even if they don't canonize what they have out now, because I get it. Like, there's a Revan novel, there's a, you know, a couple, you know, two, video games, you know, Old Republic and Old Republic 2. And then you have, like, the video game Star Wars The Old Republic, which is the MMO that has, like, Shadows of Revan expansion and all these storylines. So, like, there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't know if it would fit directly into, you know, the new canon Star Wars. So, like, I'd be okay if they did, like, what they do with Thrawn, where they cherry pick and are going to release new media for him specifically. But I really want to hear and read more about canonized version of how the Mandalorians lost the war against the Jedi. Like, that made me so excited to see that.
Yes, I really, really want to see them dig into that. And I feel like maybe we'll get a little bit more, even if we don't see it directly, because it's very obvious that Sabine is going to have to go back to her family at some point. Whether that's going to be in this season, I strongly believe that it's going to be, especially because we know that the battle with Thrawn is going to escalate quite quickly, so they're going to need all the strength that they can get to combat that. So I feel like this is being introduced now, but we will see her have to return home in order to try and unite her clan and get them to come up against Thrawn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be really, really, really interesting, especially because there's a lot of really cool information to be mined there, particularly in respect to the Mandalorian and Jedi war.
That makes me excited. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens from that. But, like, honestly, this episode of Rebels, if you are not watching Rebels, do yourself a favor. Start watching. It's easy to binge watch all the way up to it. I rewatched it all again. Yeah, I know. But, yeah, it's actually just
absolutely look, fun. Mikey, I get it. I do. I mean, yeah, look, let's be real. I've watched Voltron Season 2 3 times since it came out. Less than a week ago.
All right.
So, I get it.
We get it. It's Rebels. Amazing.
Yeah.
In other news, so obviously, latest episode of Rebels. In other news, we got a title for episode 8. I know, right? That's kind of cool.
Got a title. It's very cool. It's been a long time coming. Holy crap.
It has been. And, you know, it's also been a long time coming for, you know, a trailer. You know, we got that little tease when they started filming, which is pretty cool, but...
This is almost the exact same timing as The Force Awakens stuff. We got a title for it, and then two weeks later, the trailer dropped. What's in 2 weeks' time, Mikey?
The U.S. Super Bowl.
It is indeed. So, guaranteed. Yeah. I'm putting my money where my mouth is and saying that The Last Jedi, at least teaser trailer, will premiere during halftime of the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I'm sure there has to be a Star Wars presence at the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Not just because of Rogue One and everything, but just they have to for The Last Jedi. I do want to read the official press release real quick, though. Just
yeah, no problem. You do that.
So, official, basically the press release is the official title for Star Wars Episode 8 revealed, announcing the name of the next film in the Skywalker saga. So that I found very interesting is the way they kind of positioned that. We have the greatest fans in this or any galaxy. In appreciation of the fans, we wanted them to be the first to know the title of the next chapter in the Star Wars saga, Star Wars The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi is written and directed by Rian Johnson and produced by Kathleen Kennedy and Ram Bergman, and executive produced by J.J. Abrams, Jason McGatlin, and Tom Karnowski. Star Wars The Last Jedi is scheduled for release December 15th, 2017. So that is this year. So
yes.
Before we dive into any of the other speculation, because we've all seen the picture, if you haven't, we've tweeted it. It's on our Facebook page. It's kind of everywhere because, Star Wars The Last Jedi. Anyway, but it was interesting that they kind of really separated it out by saying the next film in the Star Wars and the Skywalker saga. Now, obviously, now we have our Star Wars stories that are officially out with Rogue One, and we know about the Han Solo film, but it was really weird for them to, at least to me, because we know this is a saga film, but for them to actually say the Skywalker saga.
Well, it is the Skywalker saga.
Well,
it is still very much about, it still has at the heart of it Luke, Leia, and Leia's son is still at the heart of it. So it absolutely
is
still
is going to have more than one line in this
exactly.
film.
So it is still at its heart the Skywalker saga, because regardless of who Rey turns out to be, Luke is still a huge part of this. In fact, he was still arguably a huge part of The Force Awakens as well, even though he only showed up at the end. Like, the central part of that plot was all about the search for Luke Skywalker. So it still is very much a Skywalker story. And, even though Kylo Ren may not bear the name of Skywalker, he still has that blood running through his veins. So at its core, it is still a Skywalker saga.
No, I agree with you. It's one of those things where the Skywalker saga, it just really kind of shows you that they are putting emphasis on the story films, the Star Wars story films and the saga films. And I almost wonder if they're going to do something interesting with, at the end of Episode 9. Because, we talked about what's going to happen. They talked about, we don't know what's going to happen after Episode 9. Are they going to continue to do more? Are they going to go back and do even more prequels? They've talked about this. So I'm just really interested with them saying that, because I haven't seen any branding previously of them announcing the name of the next film in the Skywalker saga. Like, to me, that's just like a kind of a wow moment for me. When we talk about The Last Jedi. Also, we just had someone join us to talk about The Last Jedi. Hello, Evan.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
how's it going? Hey, Evan.
All right.
So I left early last time and I show up late this time. I am the most irresponsible podcaster of all time, apparently.
It's okay because, we just started talking about The Last Jedi and we'd love to hear your thoughts about this title. I just read the press release saying, and the thing that stood out to me the most, beyond that it's coming out this year, which gets me super excited, but is that right at the beginning is announcing the name of the next film in the Skywalker saga. Like, we knew this was the Skywalker saga. Maybe they had to put it out there as a press release thing for everyone else. It just seems It seems odd to me. No?
That they would so poignantly say it's about the Skywalkers?
Yeah, you know, like, because, you know, we knew, you know, episode, you know, 4, 5, and 6 was Luke's story. You know, that was his journey, the hero's journey, if you will. And then we saw that, you know, 1, 2, and 3 was all about the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker. So yes, it's a Skywalker saga. We get that. And that was, but then when we got to episode 7, we had Rey, and mm-hmm. it wasn't really the Skywalker. So I said, yes, there was Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, and that's Skywalker, and the whole thing was about Luke. The whole thing was about trying to find Luke, the Last Jedi, which is in the title crawl of The Force Awakens, but. I feel like this is just confirming that, you know, Rey is a Skywalker.
Oh my god.
you gotta say it every episode.
I said it like twice this episode.
I love it. But yeah, you know, okay. Alright, so let's talk about just real quick. The red text. Any theories, thoughts, opinions, emotions, Danya?
It's not like it's an unusual thing. A red logo has been used several times for Star Wars films, but typically it's been used for the last film in each particular trilogy. So a red logo was used for Return of the Jedi in some marketing and promotional material, but not all. And the original title and design for Return of the Jedi, which was originally Revenge of the Jedi, that trailer and promotional material all had a red logo as well, and Revenge of the Sith had a red logo as well. So these are all films that have like maybe a darker kind of tone to it. So it could be an indicator, like they've said in a lot of the press that they've done leading up to everything that we started hearing about it, is that this is a slightly darker take on the Star Wars sort of franchise than maybe The Force Awakens was. So it would make a lot of sense that they've used red. The other time that they've used red in a logo was during the Clone Wars when Darth Maul returned.
That's it.
So
Maul is Snoke. Maul is Snoke.
So there is a potential that like it could signify the return of a Sith as well, maybe, but because we don't know that there's a Sith Lord, do we? Currently,
we know that Maul is Snoke, and he was Sith at one point in time.
Oh boy.
No, we don't.
I mean, as far as I'm aware, we should operate under the assumption that the Sith proper, capital S, are gone, and that, you know, there's just another cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Because, you know, the First Order, like, the Sith is, you know, at least the Sith as we know it from the original trilogy, was the the rule of two. And we learned a little bit about, and again, that's in Legends too, but we did have Darth Bane in Clone Wars, who was the originator of the rule of two. So, you know, if the Sith, like the capital S, not the species Sith, the lowercase s. But if the Sith were around, we would know, because honestly, the last one was Palpatine and Vader, and he brought balance to the Force by, you know, like Obi-Wan wanted, was destroying the Sith, which he killed himself and, you know, Palpatine.
Which isn't really so much balance as it is tipping one side
against the other.
But he also killed all the, you know, he also killed all the Jedi too.
Well,
his son.
Yes, that's true. Escaped.
Yeah.
More and more every day, it seems.
Apparently, yeah. That's okay. That's all right. I like Jedi surviving. They have lightsabers. But you know, I don't know. The red text is really ominous to me. I personally think it has something to do with the darker tone, like you were mentioning, Danya, because we've heard that multiple times. And it might be just something that, like, they're going to bring something in. You know, we had a fan email asked, you know, what if Rey is Ezra's daughter? But we also talked about Benicio del Toro. People have speculated that that's actually an older Ezra. I'm almost wondering if, like, the red is just because they're going to bring in a character that we know and we don't expect it, and just be like, kind of like when they did, brought in Maul, right? It was the red logo. Now, we knew it was the Maul episode because they had, you know, promoted it and stuff like that, at least in Clone Wars. I remember watching it when it came out, but I'm wondering if the red logo is the same type of thing where it's like there's someone that we know is returning and is dark side, evil. You know, it's kind of like this. And it's not Snoke and it's not Kylo Ren, but it's something else, an additional force that's going to wreak havoc on our heroes in the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agree? I mean, there's nothing to say that it couldn't also signify a return of a Sith Lord. Because we don't know that there is or isn't one currently operating within the universe. We haven't been told. We're not privy to that information. We know that Kylo Ren is not. And, yeah, but we don't know that there isn't any Sith at all.
You know, I'm going to say this right now, just so I have it recorded. I think they're going to bring back Maul. Just because, like, he hasn't died. Like, he's been killed off how many times? He got cut in half in episode one. He was killed, you know, when his brother was killed by Palpatine, but he got thrown off, you know, some building in Coruscant, which is like 100 levels up, but he survived. He comes back in, you know, Rebels, and he's the old master, right? If he's not Snoke, he's something else. And, you know, why not? Let's just bring Maul back. And because think about it, Disney likes marketing and toys. Think about how cool it'd be to bring out and resell all those Darth Maul double bladed lightsabers again. Like, why not? Why not? Like, let's just say, you know, episode eight is going to have Darth Maul. And he is the Sith. He's the return. That's why it's red to match the Clone Wars logo when he was red for him.
Actually, I've got two theories for you, one of which is possible, the other of which is just ridiculous. You can decide which one it is. But
so they're all my predicting theories, right?
Exactly. So my first one is, in Rebels, Maul will die in a pod racing scene against Luke Skywalker. How does that sound? So that's how Maul's going to die.
I like that.
In a pod race, because you get, that's the two best parts of episode one. You smash them together. I mean, they should bring out a new version of Star Wars Racer PS4 and Xbox One.
That would be, boom. Okay. Now, Xbox Money. Racer, it would be pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know about, we need to see Obi-Wan Kenobi in this, not Luke. Like, I don't want to see Luke in Rebels. Like, I don't want to see Luke in Rebels. But I'd be okay with like a T-16 flying overhead while like Ben Kenobi's fighting or something like that. Like, that'd be cool. And we could say, oh, that T-16 was actually Luke, you know, flying to Bagger's Canyon.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I'm wondering, this just now occurred to me. So, I'm trying to justify having the different colors to represent lightsabers, but I can't really do that because only a few folks have yellow, and that was what Force Awakens was. So that theory's gone. But what if it's red? Because this is when Ben gets redeemed and he joins the ranks of the Last Jedi, who would be Ben and Rey.
You know, we talked.
What were we talking about earlier in this episode, Mikey?
Oh, really?
You know, okay, so we were talking a little bit about, and this is not like you weren't here for it, so sorry. We had an email, someone asked about, you know, asked if Rey and Kylo Ren would switch roles. And I said, I don't see Rey ever becoming, you know, going to the dark side. Not to say that she couldn't, but I just don't see it happening. And you know, them switching roles. But I said I personally don't want to see Kylo Ren redeemed. I would like them to try. Give it the good old, you know, gung-ho and try, you know, college try for it and try to redeem him. But I don't want him to be redeemed, like, at all. The reasoning for this, like, the real reason I don't want him to be redeemed is I really want them to have Rey be the one to actually strike him down. Not Luke. Not that, like, Luke couldn't do it. But I want it to be, like, kind of like how Luke's trial to become a Jedi was to face his father, you know, was to face Vader. And that was, like, what Yoda sent him on to do, like, in Return of the Jedi. He's like, you must face Vader, you know, to complete your training. And he did. And Luke accepted that. And that's how he became a Jedi. And Rey, I want her to face Kylo Ren because this is directly from the EU, where Jason Solo turned to the dark side and his sister, Jaina, had to, you know, had to fight him. And it was one of those things where they would try to redeem him because they were twins, you know, like Luke and Leia, you know, Jason and Jaina Solo were twins. And this, again, this is all EU. But I want the parallels to be there. I want Rey, who is Luke's daughter, to go ahead and be the one to confront Kylo Ren and attempt to redeem him. But in the end, she's not able to. And she is the one who has to make that call and, you know, take his life. Because again, she had a connection with Han. She saw it. You know, she felt him killing Han. So it's one of those things where I think personally that Kylo Ren, even though the light pulls to him to try to come back, I think he's going to be so far gone. He made this choice and he's just not going to be able to be redeemed, unlike his grandfather, Anakin Skywalker. But that's just my thoughts.
Well, you already addressed my first objection, which was the fact that it would be echoing awful Troy Denning's, was it Apocalypse?
Was it
Apocalypse? That was Invincible.
It was Invincible?
There was all of them.
See, okay, so I personally enjoyed the book series. Do you have to look at the series as a whole? The final fight, you know, I will say the final fight, I was like, meh. But you have to think of the thing as a whole.
Her training montage being taught by Boba Fett how to kill Jedi, that was great. But then that was Karen Travis, who is
a phenomenal writer,
crazy on Twitter. But yeah, she's a phenomenal writer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and so, you know, that gets into the little EU, and it gets a little too deep for it. But I think, you know, like I said, they're cherry-picking the best of it. And they already brought back, we talked about in Rebels, they brought back the Darksaber, and, you know, they talked about the Mandalorian War against the Jedi, which is like Revan's story. So, you know, The Last Jedi and, you know, bringing this all back together with, like, Ben and them, I feel like The Last Jedi is going to be Luke. Like, if you just take the title, I feel like The Last Jedi is Luke. You mentioned it earlier, Danya. I don't think Rey is going to become a Jedi, quote-unquote Jedi, like the old order. We've learned about the Bendu. I think it's going to be, you know, she's going to go and become a Force user, but something different. Like, that's what I think.
Yeah, because I feel like the Jedi lifestyle, as we have come to know it, is not something that meshes particularly well with what we know of Rey's personality and upbringing. I don't think that she's going to completely discredit the cause in that she should be using her powers to assist the Resistance and to bring down the First Order and bring peace to the galaxy and that sort of thing. Like, I don't think that's not going to be her cause. I just don't think the sort of culture of the Jedi and everything that comes with that lifestyle is something that she's going to want. So we also are being reintroduced consistently and constantly lately to people who are either Force sensitive or are able to utilize the Force in different ways, but do not identify as Jedi. So I feel like she's not going to be a Jedi. Like, this is the kind of theory that I'm pretty settled on myself.
Because we've heard Jedi as being plural or singular. What if the last Jedi referred to Luke and Rey and like anyone else that Luke decides to train in that process?
I understand that it's plural, but for me, the theory that I'm pretty sold on, the one that I think will fit the characters as we currently know them, is that Luke will be the last Jedi. He won't die, but whatever happens to him as an outcome eventually in the future, whenever, he will be the last person to carry the title of Jedi. So he will train Rey, and Rey will learn how to use the Force, but she won't be a Jedi as we have come to know them. So the traditional Jedi will end with Luke, which would also be really poetic because Luke has been referred to as the last Jedi as far back as Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. So it would be really, really interesting that Yoda might have known that far ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because he says in Return of Jedi, when gone, am I the last of the Jedi, will you be? So that he could have foreseen that. That'd be quite interesting to me.
I wouldn't be surprised if Yoda saw that far going forward. You know, it's one of those things where it's kind of poetic. Like, the Jedi have been kind of this staple for, you know, for six films, and then we see a little bit about, you know, it's all about trying to find Luke Skywalker, the last Jedi, you know, in The Force Awakens. You know, that's, you know, in the title crawl and everything, and you're trying to find it, and, you know, it would be poetic if the Jedi themselves, like the chat, you know, what Luke decides to call himself or what Rey goes forward with, is kind of ending with Luke Skywalker. You know, and Luke decides to maybe train again, you know, he'll train Rey, and Rey will take on a mantle of a new type of protector. Maybe we end up using the title The Guardian of the Wills or something like that, kind of going more to a spiritual kind of balance or something, but not taking on the title Jedi anymore. Just because, yeah. You know, because we talked about, you know, we were introduced to things like the Bendu, we were introduced to, like, the Guardian of the Wills poem in the Force Awakens novel. You know, there's not, you know, there's talking about, you know, Chirrut and Baze in Rogue One. So there's definitely a lot of Force lore that we're learning leading up to this movie, to this film, and even more in Episode 9. So I feel like The Last Jedi, you know, it's a direct call to Luke Skywalker. You know, they really could have just called the film Star Wars Luke Skywalker. He's back or something like that, and it would probably mean the same thing. Because I think The Last Jedi, like, I don't feel like we can read too much into Last Jedi being like, could it be plural? Like, I tried to say it, but I think everyone's pretty confident that The Last Jedi is Luke Skywalker. You agree, Evan, too?
My initial reaction to it was, well, he's, as far as the movie only audience is concerned, he's been the last one, like Danya said, for, you know, decades since Return of the Jedi. He's been it as far as movie viewers know, and we haven't been introduced at all as far as I know, and I haven't finished all the new books, so correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't seen anything of his Academy. We don't know how they function or how many there were. It seems odd to think that Kylo's little group of Knights of Ren could have destroyed all of them without the assistance of, you know, a clone army.
It depends on how many there were, though.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is like, we just don't know, like, what Luke tried to do. You know, we got bits and pieces from, like, Han Solo in The Force Awakens. We got a little bit, you know, in the flashback scene of Rey, and we see bodies on the floor. So, like, we just don't know how many there were.
It could have been a very small number of them. So,
yeah, and,
you know, well, it's very likely that there weren't, like, as many as maybe that we've come to expect, like, per the prequels. I don't think there would have ever been that many in the time that we've got to. Maybe a couple, a handful.
Yeah, you take the EU, I believe it was Kevin J. Anderson who wrote the first book, like the Jedi Academy book, like
you not are
the
young correct. Series one.
Okay, I remember it was Kevin J. Anderson, and I believe there was 12 Jedi in the first, like, Jedi class that Luke kind of started training, and if I remember correctly, and you know, and it brought back characters from, like, the video games, and had Kyle Katarn and Corran Horn from, you know, the X-Wing series. Like, it brought back a lot of people, so it was, like, a really good book to, like, bring all these people together. And there was, like, 12 people from that, and
Kip. Don't forget Kip.
Yep. Kip. Yep. True. Oh man. See, I miss some of the EU. we're gonna have to do, like, an offshoot, you know, episode about just the EU that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
maybe an episode after dark. Anyway, but yeah, like, but there was 12 there, and if you think about, maybe some of them went with Ben Solo, some of them joined the Knights of Ren, because I can't imagine, like, him being by himself falling. Like, it has to be something Luke did or something that. Because remember, the dark side is easier, it's faster, it's not stronger, but it's like once you start down the path. So I feel like Ben and maybe his best...
I don't know that I would say that Luke has done something to trigger the fall, because we know
Snoke
from
was involved.
Multiple sources if you read, like, the books and so on, that Snoke was the one that manipulated Ben into falling. Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily place the blame on Luke here.
Well, you're right. I won't place the blame on Luke, but Luke didn't see it happening. All right, like Luke.
None of them did, though.
I know, and that's okay. But I think, like, I imagine, like, Jedi school. All right, just imagine, like, high school or something like that. I feel like Ben wasn't a loner. He probably had friends. He had influence, and probably because of Snoke, who kind of convinced him to this. I'm sure there was probably some peer pressure. And we saw in Rey's flashback scene, we saw a couple people who are part of the Knights of Ren. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the few Jedi that Luke were training, you know, became part of the Knights of Ren, like, you know, a gang, if you will, that, you know, Ben is the leader of. So, you know, I feel like they definitely could have destroyed all of them, and Rey might. And I feel like Rey was part of the Jedi Luke was training, or at least was there, because she saw that flashback. But again, she could have just been seeing a Force vision in general.
Yeah, we don't know the particulars of that yet, and where that came from. So. But I would genuinely say that there is a possibility that the Knights of Ren were able to wipe out the Jedi that Luke was training. Mostly because even in the opening crawl itself, that, you know, the First Order has risen from the ashes of the Empire and will not rest until Skywalker, the last Jedi, has been destroyed. So, from the opening crawl of The Force Awakens, we can probably assume that any Jedi that he had been training have either fallen to the dark side, joined the Knights of Ren, joined the First Order, are no longer Jedi.
Yeah.
Or they were wiped out, which would suggest that there weren't that many of them. That it was quite a small sort of class that Luke had. So
I have a question. So obviously, yes, this is the last Jedi, which I think most of us are like, okay, I guess it's about Luke, but, you know, we don't know anything else from it. What happened to all the Inquisitors? Like, are there Inquisitors that is like, could Snoke have been an Inquisitor? Or is the Knights of Ren the remnants of the Inquisitors that we saw from Vader and Palpatine in Rebels?
Maybe. I mean, there's like I think the First Order is obviously, like it says, is risen from the ashes of the Empire. So everything that was quite entangled with the Empire has kind of twisted and turned into something else. So I don't think the Inquisitors, as they were in the Empire, would still exist in the First Order. Do I think that they went away entirely? Probably not. So I feel like we will probably see some kind of incarnation of them, but under a different name. Could be, like you said, that they have joined the Order of the Knights of Ren, so.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that. So, overall, because I know, I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to talk about with the title, The Last Jedi. I know it's a spotlight topic, but it's three words. There's only so much we could talk about, guys. You know.
Dude, you know I wrote like 1,300 plus words on this already this week.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of going through it. I'm like, is there anything that we haven't talked about relating to The Last Jedi that I'm missing?
I mean,
Evan.
I mean, my out of left field theory was that we would actually see the flashback of the battle between the Jedi with the Knights of Ren. So basically the event that made Luke the last Jedi again. Because we know that Rey saw that vision, but is there a way that she can tap into that to be able to see what actually happened? So that was my out of left field theory as I was like writing things, and I was like, ooh, what if they could do that? And that would be kind of a twist on it as well, because it would be both what we're expecting and we're not. Because a lot of us are probably expecting that The Last Jedi is referring specifically to Luke, but it would add a really interesting twist to it as well.
I'll believe that. So I do have to say this. Have you guys seen that they've talked about the titles of the films, how they make a kind of a sentence?
Full sentence.
The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
I was
Jedi.
About to ask if y'all had already talked about that.
No. But, no, we haven't. And,
thank you for waiting.
Bring it up. There we go. Also, have you seen the title? I have a picture here that I think I need to share with you guys.
Oh, boy.
A picture of Episode 9's title that someone made.
Oh, I've seen a couple, but I just retweeted my favorite one.
Which
that
was
basically The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi from his nap.
Yes, yes, that's what I was going to say, because it's on the front page of Reddit right now. Yes, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
I just retweeted that one. Yeah, that one was just going around on Twitter, and I absolutely love it. And you can just see Cranky Luke being woken up from his nap.
That's what he's been doing on the island this whole time.
Napping the whole time.
Yeah.
It's only birds and him. Those chirps kind of get him to fall asleep. But yeah, like it is interesting that The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, like it makes a sentence. Like to me, that is interesting because if you can't do that with any of the other films, The Phantom Menace attacks. Of the clones, attack of yeah, see, it doesn't work.
Don't try. Just
a
don't.
New Hope. The Empire Strikes Back and Return. Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. None of the others work. Which that's fine. But it would be quite interesting if the last one
was from
in the series would like create a full sentence. But then you start looking into, well, is it The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi? So. Yeah.
So is the last, there is that. So is then Luke not really a full Jedi and there's another Jedi that the Force awakened?
Yeah, that's where you start getting into the kind of you get into the oh my god, what? Mind brain no.
Well, you know, it could be, you know, cuz again, Luke was, you know, Yoda didn't want to teach Luke. Too old.
Yeah, but Yoda training. Did say on his deathbed that Luke would become a Jedi only when things were resolved with his father, Darth Vader.
Yeah, when he confronted Vader. Now,
when he confronted Vader, which he did do,
but
and that came to a resolution.
Did he confront Vader, or did he just turn himself in and say, I know, father? Because like here's the thing,
he still confronted him.
Only because he was.
It doesn't matter how that came about.
See, I'm obviously playing devil's advocate here. I agree.
You are playing devil's advocate.
But think about it. It's like, all right. So here's the argument against it, and this is just me spitballing here. Is he didn't really confront Vader. He went to Vader and said like, oh, he turned himself in, not to Vader. They showed, you know, the stormtroopers walked over.
What do you think a confrontation is?
Well, he didn't confront. He just turned himself in. Well, a confrontation would be like, Yoda was intended that Luke would confront Vader.
No,
they confronted each other on Cloud City, right?
No. Confrontation doesn't necessarily have to be antagonistic. Confrontation just means, essentially, reckoning with some kind of baggage that you have between you. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it had to end in a battle, that it had to be antagonistic. It just means having to reconcile with something. So I would say that, yeah, he did confront Vader, and Yoda wasn't explicit about what that confrontation had to be, just that it needed to happen. So, yeah, okay, maybe the way that he came to that final confrontation wasn't as active as people might have wanted to see. It was slightly more passive, but it did still happen.
So, I will say this. I just pulled up the dictionary.com definition of confrontation, which is to confront, and the definition is to face in hostility or defiance. Oppose. So
I would say that he was defiant.
But he wasn't. He was complicit in it. Like he's like he accepted the truth that he was.
Yeah,
his father.
No.
Yeah,
he did.
He did.
But he didn't, and he was defiant, and he did not join with them.
Well,
now that's
all right. So that I will say maybe that's the confrontation is he refused to join, but he didn't join his father because his father didn't ask him to. At that time, he did that previously before Yoda said he had to confront Vader again. It was the Emperor who did all that. Like, everything we have between Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi, other than the little conversation they have on Endor where he's like, I know, Father, and they're both very nice to each other, which is fine. Like, I love Return of the Jedi, but it was all the Emperor's doing. And I would almost say that the fight, even between Luke and Vader, was more not necessarily a confrontation, but simply Vader protecting the Emperor when Luke was tempted to strike the Emperor down. And then they fought, and then Vader turned. And I feel almost, maybe, if the Force Awakens to the Last Jedi, maybe Luke never became a Jedi. He never truly confronted Vader, his father. Even though there was the whole resolution.
But then would Rey be a Jedi?
Well, that's my point.
Why would anyone be a Jedi then?
Well, maybe it's, you know, maybe Mace Windu comes back. He's a Jedi.
Oh, oh God, here we go.
So who is to say
that he's alive?
So here's my take on that. And after listening to the couple Yoda episodes, I have so much to say. But I think that Yoda's intent was for it to be a violent resolution for Luke to kill Vader and the Emperor. I think that was his goal and Obi-Wan's goal, and Luke found a better way. Luke said, you know what? You guys didn't do the job, so I'm going to do something completely different. He didn't, obviously, in those words, but he chose to find a different solution that had the same resolution, so he didn't confront, if we take confront in the violent definition, but he did face down the dark side and won. And, you know, when the Force ghosts are hanging out at the end, Anakin's probably like, see, my boy, what do you think now, huh?
Yeah, like, I know, I get that. Like, again, I was definitely playing devil's advocate on the other side of this fight, all right? But, you know, I don't know, like, you know, with the, and actually having the Force ghosts at the end and recognizing that Anakin is there with Yoda and Obi-Wan, it is interesting, especially when we have all this knowledge about how Force ghosts come back. Like, so truthfully, you know, I feel like, you know, he did do something that was different. Like, he confronted Vader in a very specific way to not only challenge him, but to confront him and convince him that there is still good in him. Turn him back to the light, which we see in Ben, you know, we see in Ben Solo that the light is calling to him. And I feel like if you take the book as canon, the Force Awakens book, and I can't find it right now. I was trying to find the book real quick to pull it up. But when Ben actually kills Han Solo, his initial thoughts were is that it was actually going to pull him completely into the dark. And it was going to have him be able to essentially sever the light side in him. But instead, the pull to the light at that moment, because he felt regret, you know, which obviously you don't get in the film, like the book actually pulls him to the light even more after that deed, which really kind of breeds credence to the idea of, you know, could he be redeemed? Even though I don't want him to, like personally, I don't want him to. But I think, you know, when it comes to the Last Jedi, you know, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, you know, could you say The Force Awakens, what happened in The Force Awakens, awoke, you know, Ben Solo to become a Jedi, not what he is there, you know, not Kylo Ren. You know, so there's a lot when it comes to the story there.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance to what The Last Jedi could mean. There's so much to it. I mean, obviously we're going off three words.
And like typical Star Wars fandom, overanalyzing three words, you know. But yeah. It's fun. It's fun to talk
that's
about.
That's the fun. Yeah, I was going to say, that's the fun of it, right? Is like trying to figure out what this means. So
yeah. Well, we'll find out for sure December 15th, 2017.
Or we may get some more of a hint when we've got some teaser trailers.
Teaser trailers don't do anything but make us speculate more. You know that.
Yeah.
Look at Rogue One.
I'm fine with that.
And I'm okay with that. Like, we won't find out until the film comes out. And even then, it'll be like The Force Awakens. Did The Force awaken, you know, R2-D2 and let them find Luke in the map? Or did The Force awaken reveal Rey? Like, there's so many, like...
There's so many interpretations of The Force Awakens. Well, there'll probably be multiple interpretations of
The Last
Jedi.
Would you say they're really just different points of view? From a certain point of view, Luke is The Last Jedi? I agree. I like that point of view thing that Lucas did with Obi-Wan, that, yeah, from a point of view, Vader did kill your father.
Except that's just another classic Obi-Wan sidestep to lying.
Basically. He's not lying. He's saying from a certain point of view, it's the truth. So from a certain point of view,
is Obi-Wan peddling alternate facts? Is that what's going on?
Okay.
Those crowds were the biggest.
They're huge, bigly.
All right, guys. Anything else about The Last Jedi? No? Yes?
No. Hold on. I'm just thinking.
Probably more as soon as we hang up.
All right. So here's what I'm going to say is if anyone else has anything to say about The Last Jedi, or you have a crazy theory, because I love crazy theories myself, that's just my personality. Send it to us. Email us at resistanceradio.net. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. As always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Evan.
Yay, Evan made it on. Yay. And may the force be with you. Bye-bye.
And also with you.